Pleasure to introduce Frank Hummel and Mike Pasanita, who will be talking to you about integrating locally sourced ingredients into Delaware Valley's food service departments. So without further ado.
Good afternoon. My name is Frank Hummel. I'm from Delaware Valley College. I work for Eden Park Hospitality, Parkhurst Division. My associate here is Mike Pasanita. He's from St. Francis University, also a Parkhurst account. My background is I came from all private restaurants before, from five-star to mom and pop. And about 7 years ago, I answered an ad in a newspaper saying a retail sous chef. I knew what a sous chef was, but a retail sous chef, I didn't quite get. And it was for Bucknell University. And Parkhurst was already there, and I fell in love. We do more things from scratch than most restaurants I've worked for in the past. And all dressings are made from scratch. There's no Italians out of a packet adding water and vinegar, and I just fell in love with it. 7 years later, I'm still working for the same company, so.
And I'm the executive sous chef, probably been at St. Francis for 5.5, 6 years now, and same principles, just love the idea that we can go in and make everything from scratch, or at least the majority of stuff. And the company allows us to be very creative. We're allowed to really do any type of food that we want, and also the university that I work for, they allow me to have a greenhouse and all that. But I don't get knocked out.
Now, Parkhurst is a new company in the world of contract dining. We're only about 15 years old, and I'm going to give you a little timeline. 2002, we started a farm source. We cover about 51 units, and that includes corporate and private colleges. Farm source and EcoSteps. EcoSteps is try to reduce our carbon footprint as well. You see a little trademark, little things at any one of our units for what we're doing. A lot of our units went trayless. A lot of our units are using greenware to go, as well as paper bags as well as to go. Instead of plastic, instead of petroleum-based products. And 2005, the company switched to zero trans fat. I think that was a big movement of all the companies back then. Our fluid milk, we went to RBST-free in 2005 as well. 2006, a couple of our units started CSAs, which is pretty cool, considering some corporate accounts out in Pittsburgh, like PNC, you can buy whatever share you want to, and then they drop it off right there at the bank, like a large corporation. 2007, the Sprint fryer oil, some of our accounts are turning into biodiesel. And also, the green standards were started with the EcoSteps. We didn't have a cool logo then, unfortunately. 2008, organic recycling, some of the units started. Also, Grow Your Own was a big builder in our company, in Parkhurst anyway. And in 2010, Parkhurst went to 100% in all our units, cage-free organic eggs, and know your source. They heard me in Park Hospitality Group. They're known for their smiley cookies. You ever have one?
We were just there.
They're smiling. That's our parent company, believe it or not. These are some of the things we put in our accounts to showcase when you walk in the door, to show what we're doing. Like that thing's about 5 feet tall, Mike. These banners.
Yep.
And then we can print out an 8x10 sheet and what we're doing, what we have produce-wise, dairy, meat, or artisan products as well, what we're serving that day or that week. Also, different plaques for our EcoSteps, what we're doing at each unit. Because each unit's different. We're not cookie cutter. Mike's menus don't look similar to mine at all. So,
yeah, we take suggestions from the client as well as the students, and we try to really incorporate what they like, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my menu is basically student-based. Now, last year, we were only at Delaware Valley since last July. Now, of course, I made the menu before I went there, so I didn't know any of the students. I quickly learned. Mike can talk about a little bit of St. Francis.
And here at St. Francis, I have a greenhouse that I can grow. I was growing greens in a now I'm just doing mainly herbs, but I also grow herbs outside of our dining hall, which we use for catering, and I'm able to move them in into the greenhouse and do that year round, which is kind of fun. And that's Mike's wonderful boss there in the center. And then I do grow microgreens, and also you can see up in the right hand corner there, just some of the fun things. I grew wheatgrass for an event, and also grow like the microgreens the same fashion. Then also Reed Smith, they have a rooftop garden, which they produce stuff, and then Bear Corporation, they have our garden. But there's many accounts that do either rooftop or try to grow herbs, and they use that in their catering, especially.
And fortunately, where I'm blessed, you know, the school of Delaware Valley is 60% ag, so they just got a gift last year of a 350-acre farm. So right now, I think they currently have about 700 acres of usable farmland, which is it's pretty wild. Now, that's some of the last summer, the chefs were invited to a conference up at Penn State, where they got to cook and use some local foods. And not all of our accounts use a lot. We try to get at least 20% at each unit of local sourced foods. Last year at Delaware Valley, I can talk about, was our first year, or our first academic year. And I think I touched around 40, 45%. Now, granted, a lot of that comes from the school as well, for me. 2 weeks ago, Jamie Moore, are you guys familiar with Jamie Moore? You've heard about him. He's our director of sourcing for all of our products. If Mike finds a farm out near St. Francis he wants to use, calls Jamie up. Jamie goes out and takes a trip. Make sure it meets our company's, you know, liability and the amounts we're going to use from that farmer. And then yays or nays, pretty much. I mean, it seems like a lot of red tape, but it's really not. I mean, so that was some of the Philly chefs. Myself, Gwen and Mercy, Philly U's there, Arcadia, and the Cura division. Cura is another one of our divisions. They do senior living and hospitals. That's what they specialize in. But right there, I think we were at an Amish egg farm, and we were at Weaver's Orchard in Morgantown, PA.
That's Philadelphia University.
Philly U, yes.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yep, we're at Philadelphia University.
My dad's a professor.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then he would know Gerald Hunter as a chef, or Bill Zimma, the GM there for Parkhurst. They do a lot of cool things there. I still have some ideas for them. So Delaware Valley College. Changing the norm. When we took over there as their food service contractor, a lot of the stuff was falling off trees and just being forgotten. They had walk-through orchards where you could buy, you know, and pick your own. But they had so many orchards on campus that, you know, just weren't enough people to take all of it. And I don't know what the issue was with the last food service contractor. You know, I don't like name names or anything like that. But I was like, this is crazy. So when I came in, I was like, I want whatever you can give me. I'll buy it, whatever it is. And since then, we have a new Dean of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences, Russell Redding, a new farm manager, Doug Christie, and Scott Smith, the assistant farm manager. That's Scott Smith there on the golf cart, and you can't really see it because that picture's horrible. That's actual Russell Redding in his car. And Russell has this really cool plan to, there's a lot of things started on campus before I got there, but not, I want to say, for the half. They have about 2 or 4 acres of organic farm or organic field. Nothing really happens on it. They teach, but then it's forgotten about. There's bees on campus. They have an apiary club, but they don't really utilize the product from it. So what Russell, Doug, Scott, myself, and my boss are trying to do is create these programs where we can get product from the school. And it's also a teaching source, and, you know, during the summer, you know, like everybody was saying over the past couple of speeches I was listening to, is the labor's hard for our food service business. Because during the harvest, there's no one at school. So a lot of these things we need to start focusing on summer programs for students. At our school, a lot of the students have farms to go back home, and they have to work during the summer. So I mean, it's interesting, and we're really at the infancy stages of it, planning it. But right now, all my burger meat comes from Delaware Valley College. It's their dairy cows that are spent. You know, they went through their cycle. They're not really producing anymore. They can send away and come back to me and burgers. Now it's a frozen product, but it's as local as I think that's about half a mile from my back dock where we took that picture. So I mean that's really cool. And like I said, all the apples come from them, but there's so much more potential there. It's well, apples. We have 20 different varieties of apples I get right now. They were doing eggplant that day when I took that picture. That's their washer, their sorter. The pumpkins, just like every other area down in that part of Pennsylvania, was really hit hard this year. I don't know if you guys are aware of that or not.
Could you dim any of the lights up front? Is that possible?
Ah, that's nice. You got some nice lights.
Right,
that's better.
And also this year they had to take a lot of the orchards out on the main campus for the waste management of the actual animals they have on campus. So they have equestrian, they have dairy, they have lambs, they have llamas, they have pigs, that, you know, you name it, they have it. Unfortunately, I have not yet gotten into those other animals. It's just, I call it the holding cell, where they keep all their apples stored on campus. They press their own cider every Monday or Tuesday. Scott calls me and says, how many gallons do you want? I usually say between 50 and 70. And I go through them in about 4 days. They give away hot cider in the front of the main dining hall. Unfortunately, these were just taken last week, so that's where the eggplant came from, up top left. The bottom, that's a second batch of broccoli. And those are some onions ready to come out of the ground. And like I said, that's last week's picture, so. And there's some small catering events that we did with some of the tomatoes I was getting from campus and some of the herbs. Student-run tractors, farm. There was a picture of the strawberry fields on the top right that they have. They have 4 or 5 acres of strawberries. Now that's also pick your own. You come on campus, you can do that. That's me in one of their greenhouses there at the bottom. And that, sadly, is one of my burgers right there. new additions, they just put this, they have a big, real big problem with deer in the area. They just spent the money, and that covers 10 acres right there, that deer fencing. So that'll help next year's crops. It's pretty cool. I don't know if anybody's ever seen deer fencing or not, but it's pretty neat.
Is it 7 feet high?
Yeah. And, the bottom, the fence gets a little smaller, so that way the smaller rodents can't get in.
Is that for the? Is that around the apples?
No, that's just around bare fields. Like next year, that'll be corn. That was just tilled under, not too long ago. That's my Mediterranean bar that I put on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We do a traditional salad bar 7 days a week. At least last year we did, and you know it's just like going into your kitchen every day. You get bored with it. I mean, it gets stale to you. Comment cards, you know, can you change something up? So this year we decided on Tuesdays and Thursdays, the traditional salad bar is gone. We are going to put Durbin of Brazilian restaurant. Maybe not, I don't know. We have grilled vegetables with olive platter. There's a quinoa. That's a quinoa salad, tomato, caprese. If I'm not mistaken, that was a couscous tabbouleh. And, you know, we put out all these composed salads, and the kids are like, wow, you know, something different. You know, at first they're like, I want my ranch, I want my lettuce. But, you know, they get used to it, you know. And then, you know, this is the end result. I mean, honestly, the kids when we first started versus, I know it looks like ugly dining hall, I apologize. The renovations are going to happen this summer. But yeah, I mean, the kids are happy with us. I went last year from getting complaints, we want our chicken tenders back, to, you know, I would say 1 in 10 comments over. Which is pretty good at college level, anyway, because you can't please everybody. Because I switched from getting all, we make our own chicken, I call them chicken strips, I don't call them chicken tenders. We make our own popcorn and chicken. We make our own stocks. We don't buy bases. Pizza dough from scratch. I mean, a lot of stuff we do is, it's pretty cool. But it's to get the kids to read the signs and to understand, you know, what we're actually doing versus, you know, I mean, I can put up a million signs, but you ask them, hey, did you know? They'd be like, no, I didn't know that. Then you show them, like, the five places you have signs. But I know this was really quick, but I figured, you know, there'd be more questions than other groups, so please attack me with questions or...
What are the major complaints that you, or like, is there a theme in the major that you get?
The major complaints is, like I said, the last food service contractor that was there, it's not their fault, you know, they are who they are. The kids wanted their Turkey Tuesday back, or they wanted, you know, these weird things back. To me, it was weird. I created an 8-week menu, but I can change it if the farmer says, hey, I got these egg plants for you. I can take my vegetable, change it out that night, and put in something different. I'm not as big as the Middlebury, you know, we're infant college compared to that. You know, we only serve 1,100 of our meal plan. But we're also unlimited dining. The kids come home from 7 in the morning till 7:30 at night, swipe as many times as they want. It's pretty cool. And we're very transparent when it comes to, like, you know, our budgets and our finances. Which makes us a good partnership with any college. You know, if they're transparent with us, we're very transparent with them. My associates can ask, you know, hey, what's the budget look like? I'll pull it up my computer and say, there you go, that's the budget. That's the number we have to make. Currently, right now, I'm doing 30% food costs, which is better than I did in any restaurant. What else? I get about, my cost per meal is about, I'm budgeted, I think, 236 or 232. I think I'm coming in around 215. But, you know, you got to look at the positive and negative. I mean, if you buy processed foods, you know, you can drop your labor. All right, well, that's an easy way to save some money, right? But if you buy whole foods cheaper, you can increase your labor. So it balances itself out if you look at it. Yes.
Can you clarify the cost either per head, student, or however you... figure that the cost for dining.
The cost per meal. I take my highest priced items and divide it by this wonderful formula. No, it's something that the corporate does. I put in my numbers and it comes out to this thing. My out of the X amount, I think it's $2,700 per semester to have a meal plan. Now, unfortunately, per student.
Student pays $2,700 per student.
Yes, it's a lot. Yeah. The understanding is we don't receive all that money. I get about, I think it's around $9 a day to feed a student for the unlimited plan. Yeah, that's pretty cool, huh? So yeah, I mean, they get some pretty good eats for that kind of money.
So at Dickinson, we've got a lot of students kind of pushing for more food to be sourced from our farm. And last week we had a seasonal menu project, but it hasn't been implemented. And the major feedback that we've gotten from the chefs and the dining services director is that it will require more labor to process stuff, because right now we get things frozen and packaged. Like, we get squash already packaged and cut up compared to pressing our own squash. And changes in infrastructure. So I'm wondering, like, how you adapted, like, changes in labor needs.
From getting it from the school?
Yeah.
Well, what I get from the school, it's not always, you know, your A quality. It might be your B. It might have some dirt on it. You know, you might have to wash it off a little bit. But I still have my, I mean, I just went into that. We don't buy a lot of processed stuff to begin with. So. Okay. Incorporating something like that is not an issue for my kitchen to deal with or for Mike's kitchen.
Right. 90% we buy and we process ourselves.
Yeah, we don't buy like sliced onions or cut potatoes or already
baked squash
processed things.
There's only like three vegetables that we buy.
Yeah, I buy frozen corn, I can't lie. Because I don't really want to pay somebody to shuck corn. Not that I couldn't. But
so is the processing that goes on in the kitchen, like pressing potatoes and squash, is that students or is that other chefs?
That's my associates.
Other team member cooks?
Yeah, we do employ some students.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, you know, it's based on their work, on their school schedule. You know, what they can work. Like, if they can only do 2 hours a day, then obviously I can't put them on my grill line, or I can't put them on my main lines. But they could be a server, or they could do a little prep work in the kitchen. So it all depends on what they're willing to.
And we do cut up all of our own fries and make homemade chips as a whole bit. You know, cut all of our potatoes for mashed potatoes and make our stocks from scratch. Make our own pizza dough, our own sauce.
So what do you source from outside of the farm? Like, what are big things, that big like line items?
Well,
I mean, he's more fortunate in his place. We have to outsource a lot more, mm-hmm. but I'm trying to buy as local as possible. In the summer, we have like Blue Goose Farms, who produce lots of vegetables, all of our potatoes year round. And then we just picked up a hydroponic grower that's going to produce lettuce for us all year long. But he's more fortunate.
I mean, everything else. I mean, I'm just starting to write an A-list for the college. So the Dean of Agriculture, along with Scott and Doug, can formulate with the professors, the class, like, for instance, potatoes. I go through about 40 to 50, 50-pound bags of potatoes a week. That's a lot of potatoes for the size of the school that we're at. So therefore, that's going to be one thing about A-list, that they can grow for me. They can be stored. Onions, stuff like that. You know, I'm not looking to get lemons or bananas or, you know, crazy exotic stuff from the school. I'm just looking to get simple items. Yes?
Two questions. The first one is, so you have good storage facilities, so if you have root crops or squash or that kind of thing, you could store it for
the
winter?
The school has some storage facilities, yes. We're looking into making them a little bigger. Or in my kitchens, unfortunately, no. Because I inherited, the building I think is 1972, which is why it's getting, well, you can see it looks like it's from 1972. it doesn't have air conditioning in it either. Which, I'll tell you what, in the summertime, it is unbearable. It really is. Thank goodness we don't have summer courses, because those kids wouldn't make it through lunch. I'm there during the summer, but just menu planning and what have you. But no, we're looking into getting new coolers and new freezers, because I want to be able to freeze some of the peaches, some of the apples, during the summer when we're down. You know, I didn't do that this past summer, not because I'm lazy, but it was because, you know, it was our first year and I didn't really know how things were going to go. And so that's definitely in the works for this May after graduation.
Flash freezer or just a walk-in?
Just a walk-in freezer. But, you know, I don't need fancy equipment. I mean, Mom and Dad did it when I was growing up. You know, they canned, they froze stuff. And
so do you pay college for that food, or does that come to you free?
I'm sorry?
Do you pay the college for that food that they produce, or does that kind of be part of the bargain?
No, that's not free at all. I get a reduced rate because, you know, they don't have to go to Lancaster. They don't have to go somewhere to sell it to auction. They just have to drive their trucks to my back up. So I probably, for apples, I pay about $20 a case for apple cider, which they press another half a mile away from my back dock. I pay $3 a gallon. So I'm giving them a fair price for it. You know, you can go to storing, I think, get apple cider for like $5 a gallon or something. So I'm giving them a fair price. And they set the price. I don't set the price. You know, I don't want them to fail as well. Yes.
What type of schools do you guys work at?
Well, we have, like I said, Bucknell University, Philly U, Philly area, St. Francis. We have Robert Morris out in Pittsburgh. Our corporate accounts, we have Highmark, Camp Hill, PNC's out
Google.
In Pittsburgh, Google, Pittsburgh.
We do,
I can't name all 51.
St. Vincent, what, still a camp
at? Yes, we were a camp at St. Vincent's College.
All of those schools have their own farms, or?
No. No, this is just Delaware Valley. Yes.
Where do you source the other dry goods and such that you need for your...
The dry goods?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, Mike said, I'm a little blessed. I can use Common Market, which is based out of Philadelphia, Reading Terminal.
Yeah.
Gets a lot of their stuff from Lancaster. So all the yogurt in this dining hall come from PK Farms. Amish farm from, and I get all 10 different flavors too. It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Is there a policy with your company about which food service providers or which distributors you'll use?
Yeah, US Food is our main one.
Okay.
You know, just like any other third part, or whatever we call it, food service contractor. We are we're partnered with certain people. Like, we're all U.S. Foods, our main purveyor. Now, Mike's produce company, I believe, is Monteverde.
No.
Paragon?
Paragon.
I'm sorry. And then out where I'm at, we have Pocono as our main produce provider. Now, yes, I could get my potatoes from them. I could get my, I get everything from those two providers if I wanted to. But it's my initiative and Mike's and all the other chefs in our company to really start caring about, you know, local and sustainable. Yeah, that one's.
Does the company have a food ethics policy?
Food ethics policy?
About like how food is grown or human rights standards?
You know what, I'm not, it might be on the Barker's Dining website.
Cool.
I think I did read something about that, but I can't say yes or no for sure.
Okay.
I apologize, I'm not
looking
at it.
Okay.
I'm just curious what your facility is like. I hear you saying it's old, it doesn't have air conditioning, but how much square footage do you have in your kitchen, and you know, what are you doing?
The dining hall seats right now about 230 students, which it's kind of tight at lunch and dinner because we're serving about 900. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we're opening from 7 in the morning until 7:30 at night, so they don't all have to come in at one time or in a two-hour span. They can come in throughout the course of the day. Yeah, for breakfast, we serve breakfast, I plug anywhere between 7 and 10:59. That's what we consider breakfast. About 450. So, you know, we have that span of time. The kitchen, I have 4 convect ovens. It's very small. I have 2 warmers. We do a lot of, well, all our cooking is batch cooking. I have 2 small walk-in coolers, 2 small walk-in freezers, and then a pretty tight dry storage. But like, again, you know, the renovations are supposed to take care of some of that. So, you know, once we come in, we take over an existing account, and you know, it fit the needs of the last person there. But you know, sometimes when we come in, we might have to change it around a little bit. You know, on Parker's got St. Francis. Like, I envy to have his freezer. He could do 10 ice carvings in his freezer at once. but at the time, you know, back his used to have old wooden floors in it, right?
Right.
Yeah, so they had to redo that because of health codes and that. But yeah, each site is specific, or site specific. I think Del Valle, if I'm not mistaken, was self-op at one time. Then the wood company had it, then Sodexo had it, and so on and so forth.
The Parkers actually goes in and does renovations, and redoes the dining halls, and my dining hall is much larger than his, for sure, but the kitchen is adequate, but we make it work. We upgrade the equipment as we can, and actually the university pays for that end of it, so mm-hmm. each account's run different.
It's not uncommon in these contracts, though, that the food service does some of the renovations. It just depends on the contract?
Yeah, it depends on the contract. I think I won't go on specifics with our contract. But yeah, we give some, they give some.
Sure.
You know, depending on, you know, the contracts. But anyway, I forgot, I looked at my notes here real quick. The future plans for at Del Valle. We're starting talking about the fluid milk. Right now, the dairy cows, that milk's going out, and they're getting a check, and it's going into the grid. You know what I'm talking about when I say the grid? Okay.
Are they RBST free or not?
The cows on campus are not.
No.
However, we had talks last week with a local dairy provider, and Dean Russell's a big supporter of this. He wants white milk to come back. I want it to come back. We had one with a local dairy provider 2 weeks ago, and the problem with that dairy provider is they couldn't guarantee us it being 100% DVC coming back. And I was like, well, I don't want that. I'm sorry. So next week we have another meeting with, I forget who, it's not Wawa, I forget who it is, but they promise us they can get it back 100%. So we're going to see the numbers and see what it looks like. Also, with the college and starting the whole A-list of products, not only do we want to get settled here on campus at Del Valle, but we want to be able to reach out to Glen and Mercy College, which is only 20 minutes down the road from where I'm at, or Arcadia, which is 25 minutes the other way from us. Or maybe to even touch into Philly U, some of our other accounts. Maybe give them some of those A-list products. You know, but it has to start with the students. I mean, it has to be student-based. I mean, we have to get the teaching there and the learning done before, you know, care about the foods part of it. Yes?
So Dickinson doesn't have a food services contractor. What would you say are the, like, major advantages of having someone do it for you and doing it more?
You know, I don't know if there's really advantages or disadvantages. I mean, I guess one advantage would be that the college doesn't really have to worry about it. I mean, they're going to get some kind of, you know, it's going to be in the contract of how they get some kind of financial back for renting the space or however they want to set up the contract. Mike, St. Francis is a fee account, and I'm ran as a P&L. So they're ran two different ways.
Can you tell us more about...
That's okay.
What's that?
Can you tell us more about drawing up the contracts?
Drawing up the contract?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I can personally tell you about that. All I know is when a college goes, you know, when they want to see what's out there, something different, they set up a RFP, if I'm not mistaken, and they send it out to who they think will make a plan up and send it back to the school. Then the school decides and talks about it, visits different accounts, and makes a decision.
How long is the commitment on the contract?
Ours is pretty wild, actually. Most are anywhere between 3, 5, max 10 years, but that's usually unheard of.
We just signed a 10-year away.
St. Francis just got a new 10-year extension. Arcadia just got a new 10-year extension. And our contract was 15 years from the start.
Wow. That's pretty good.
So that's pretty cool. Bucknell is working on their extension. When about, if there's 10-year contracts, about the fifth year, we go in and the company do a fresh eyes, where they'll invite GMs or chefs from other accounts that aren't even from that area to that account, just to sit, talk with students, talk with faculty and staff, and see what's going on, see what's happening at that account.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, you're an account, and like, you go to school here. I mean, you have horse blinders sometimes. You don't. If you're a manager, and, you know, I might walk out and be like, oh yeah, you know, the sign might be a little crooked, but I didn't notice it that day. Someone new steps in, they see it, and they're like, yeah, your sign's a little crooked, or, you know, this mess has been here since, you know, 30 minutes, why is this mess still sitting here? You know, just different ins and outs, and they help the managers that are at those accounts see and make things different. That's what we're really big on.
Do you happen to know the tuition at Delaware?
I do not. I don't even, I want to say 35, 40 max. But I don't be quote me on that.
Sure.
I don't go to school.
But the population, those numbers you gave me, what's the total student body?
I think there's 1,700 to 1,800 undergraduates.
Okay.
And a lot of that's commuter, too. So, you know, to get 1,100 on the meal plans is pretty cool. Now,
okay.
Freshmen have to have a meal plan. Mm-hmm. Upperclassmen don't.
So 1,100 is the meal plan.
What's that?
1,100 is the number on the meal plan.
This year, yeah.
No. Are there any further questions? Yeah, keep going. No,
dumb question.
There's plenty of time.
What's that?
Are you guys only northern?
We started in Homestead, Pittsburgh, and kind of branched out a little bit. We're touching into Ohio. We might get down in Baltimore. You know, the kind of the northeast region. Yeah, we're not really anywhere.
West Virginia.
Yeah.
So do you know of a company like yours, like in the Carolinas?
I know some chefs that would like to go to Carolina in a company now. yeah, I mean, there's different contract dining services. I don't know all their names, but I apologize. Because actually, Parker's is the first institutional food service company I've ever worked for.
Yeah.
Bon Appetit is one that's, we just put out RFPs and interviewed Bon Appetit, and they're pretty progressive. California-based, and they have a lot of Silicon Valley accounts, and some of those are up to 70, 80, 90% local, which, you know,
right.
Of course, their season is very different, but
right.
Their list of social, you know, these different kind of standards is really pretty impressive, but, and you pay for it.
What's that?
But you pay for it. You know, everything.
Right. I mean, it's not cheap to run our program, but at the same time, you know, that's what it's about right there on that page. So I mean, you know, yeah, it's everything's financially driven. Let's be honest. But you know, at the end of the day, I mean, that's what I want to see when I walk in my dining room. And honestly, that was from the other day too. I just walked in the dining room. I was like, can I take your picture? And like, yeah. So.
Do contracts with your company generally have exclusivity clauses?
I'm sorry?
Do contracts with your company generally have exclusivity clauses? Like, are there a lot of food service contracts that I'm familiar with say, like, this is the only food that can happen within 100 yards, or there can't be other, like, food providers in that area?
I'm going to answer that with yes and no. That depends on the contract.
Okay.
At Delaware Valley College, they also do food science on campus. And they also have a farm market on campus that's also third-party ran, not by Parker's.
Oh, that's so cool.
So there's three different areas of food service here at this college, which makes it a little different. At Bucknell, it was all strictly Parker's.
Okay.
At St. Francis, it's all strictly Parker's. So different, you know, different colleges, different avenues. For instance, food science might do the tailgating at homecoming, but we'll get the nice dinners. Or the farm market right now, it has a corn maze and has the pumpkin, you know, extravaganza going on. Like, we won't get any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really cool partnership, but yeah, it's different. It's a contract based, I think.
Mm-hmm. From everything I've heard from your talk and other talks, various dining services are ready and willing to get local food from the colleges, college gardens,
mm-hmm.
local providers. That's great. Without naming names,
mm-hmm.
how do you tell your food service provider, hey, we've got it, let's make a partnership?
Without telling your food service provider?
Without telling names of the food service provider.
Okay.
How do we get them to get on board with us? I mean, obviously, if I came to you as someone on Del Valle's campus and said, this is what we want to do, you said, great, we'd love to have the vegetables. We'd love to have them.
That's what I would say.
But how do we get a...
From someone that's trying to fight you about it, or not fighting you, but...
I mean, the students want it, but the food service organization that is currently in place is putting up roadblocks.
Well, I was talking to the gentleman from senior from Juniata, had a little stand out there last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking with him. I thought that was really cool because my stepson actually goes to Juniata, and he didn't tell me anything about that little front. Which I'll talk to him tomorrow about that. But no, I mean, I would get support. I really would with student body, with you know faculty or staff. I mean, there has to be a way where you can have a sit down and talk with somebody from that food service provider and, you know, make some kind of agreement. I would think, I mean, I don't know, and I don't want to tell you what to
do. There is, and we have an agreement, but there's so many loopholes, or so many roadblocks in the agreement that you can't make it sustainable for you for what they want. Yeah, it's just,
I wish I had an answer for that. But
it seems like, in some ways, Parker's a smaller company than some of these bigger ones,
right.
And it gives you guys maybe some more flexibility
right.
in adapting.
Right. Some of them are structured so that, you know, I hate to use the phrase, but, you know, cookie cutter, like your menu, but, you know, this menu's the same, this menu. I mean, there might be a little variations of them, but it might be the same.
The issue is that for the other companies, they need the food safety insurance.
Right.
They won't.
Right.
They can't go to local farmers because
mm-hmm.
they don't pay $1 million for, you know, insurance to make sure that their food is quote unquote safe. But you use the Moore guy, right? Your Moore guy goes and
he checks them out. Yeah,
we're good.
They have to have a certain amount of insurance
yeah.
as well.
I mean,
there's
the
certain criteria that they
have
to make sure that we're
there are liabilities there as well.
So you have a liability requirement then in your.
Mm-hmm. For the people we buy from, whether it be a small farmer, whether it be you know U.S. Foods, or whether it be you know.
What about from the college?
The college
has general liability insurance.
The college has to have liability insurance as well. Yeah.
Just their basic, not their basic liability
yep.
insurance covers it.
Yeah, we're like I said, we're serving 1,100 kids, and God forbid half of them get sick with something, and we come to find out it's from the camp. campus or it's from someone we buy from or something we did to it. I mean, everybody has a certain amount of liability on them, not at all.
I think that if you can't get your college to, you know, get buy the food, that you can look outside of the college and look for, like, local restaurants and stuff like that, because that's what I've thought about doing. If the college isn't going to take the food, somebody will. And so, I mean...
Oh, yeah, and like I said, we don't have immense, like, huge colleges. I mean, the biggest one we have is Buckeye University. It's like 3,700 students, if I'm not mistaken. And even there, though, if they had a little garden on campus and they, let's say they had a bushel of tomatoes, like Brian Ritchie, the executive chef there, would say, yeah, you know, I'll take that from her, I'll buy that from her, we'll use it. You know, it's hard for me to say no, especially if it's grown on campus. Even if it is in a salsa, I mean, that I put out with some chips. You know, it's hard for me to say no.
I think sometimes the college, maybe the dining hall is supportive, because I know my particular dining hall is very supportive, but the college isn't very supportive in giving enough land to support the dining hall. So it's like you have to go through a lot of different loopholes to get everything done. And so you just have to figure out what your niche is in your particular college and figure out who's going to accept it. And then once you get something going, as long as you have it going for a while, you know, it'll grow.
Yeah, just build on those relationships, you know, they're going to get bigger. Once again, I'm blessed with the client. He brought his family in for dinner the other night, into the dining hall and ate with the students. I mean, my client is a wonderful guy. I can't complain to him at all. Pretty much anything I want, he'll get. I mean, within reason, obviously. And it's a really great partnership.
So you're going to have to do lamb.
What's that?
You're going to have to learn how to do lamb.
Well, like I said, we got the hamburgers under, there might be 1 week out of a month I have to buy, you know, my hamburger from my normal providers. But we finally got the cow situation on track.
That was just a logistical thing of getting things in time.
Yeah, they'll send up a dairy cow, say they send it up Monday. He likes to hang it for me a week and a half before I get it back. So it was just a logistic thing, like for me calling the dairy science and saying, hey, you got one for me? And they're like, maybe in like 4 days. So now we're on a cycle. And it's also student-based, too. I mean, once we put up the sign that says, you know, this is BBC Hamburg, oh, geez, you should see the lines. It's like, come on. It's better. But, it is really good. I mean, it might be call burger, you know, because it's dairy cow. It's not beef cow. But it's so much better. So much better.
How much do you do in the way of signage, like, if you have a local product, or, like, how much education is there for the students?
Well, I wish I had some pictures. The top one there, all that behind there is all signage. And you can see it as soon as you walk in. At each station, at the grill station, there's signage about eggs made to order all day long at the grill station. What they can eat. On inside of that wall is those big farm source things you've seen in the first slides, those big banners.
Oh, okay.
And then what we're doing today, we also have a map of Pennsylvania with all the counties in it. And then whatever local produce that I'm getting in, my director of dining service, I tell her where the farm comes from, that I'm getting the potatoes, like Talon Farms. I'm going to get a lot of potatoes from them. Before the school had apples for me to use, I was getting from Weaver's in Morgantown, PA. And we just make a little descriptor, and then we put it on the Pennsylvania map. And unfortunately, all I really had to do was make like this half of Pennsylvania. But yeah, that's how we...
We have monitors at each station, and we rotate our features and where we bought it from, and really, you know, try to promote it that way without using paper.
Do you think it's effective?
Some read it, but a lot, no. We really have to point it out to them. But we're out there trying to sell the product as well and educating our team members to be able to do that.
No, sir. We got this really cool thing now. The school decided it was a Del Valle app for smartphones. So now we put all our menus on that, which is pretty cool. But that was the IT at this college, and they asked us if we wanted to be on board with this, because they wanted for athletics and office hours and everything. So yeah, you can pull up dining service, Levin Dining Hall, click on a day, and there's my menu for the whole that whole day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So that was a pretty cool thing we started this summer.
Does that include information about the sourcing?
No, that does not, unfortunately, because there's only so much I can put on Google Docs.
Yeah.
That's what we use to upload that. Director of Planning Service uploads it on Sunday night for the following week.
We have time for one more question. Go ahead.
Oh, this isn't like a great summation question, but do you have a policy about fair trade goods?
Not.
We buy fair trade coffee.
Yeah.
And we do try to find those sources for its fair trade.
Yeah, I think all.
And Jamie Moore would be able to answer that much better. He's the one that goes out and researches all the companies and makes those decisions.
He makes our job a little easier.
Sorry, I know we have one question, but just a quick one. You said that about 40% of the food that you have is locally sourced.
Last year, yes.
Last year, which is awesome. That's
I don't know what my percentage is of yet this year.
So. Especially for PA, not being, you know, we're not in California. But I'm wondering, is that sort of, that's a great percentage, we're going to stay there, or is there a push to continue to increase that?
No, like I said, the company, all the burgers, units, their goal is only 20%. You know, each one's separate, each one runs differently. You know, my goal is as much as I can.
Right.
That's within my budget. So yeah, that 40-45% last year, that was great and all. And yeah, it exceeded the regular company goal, but my goal was above me on it. Like, I want to get into the campus pigs. I want to get into their, you know, their, the fluid milk, the whole, like, I want a lot more. But, you know, we have 15 years.
How do you guys define local?
I'm sorry.
No, that's
just
fine.
Like, is it like a number of pies?
Yeah,
or
just like that gentleman from Middlebury.
I knew you
were a man. That was really informative for me earlier. The Google Maps thing, I don't know if you were in here for that. Our company based on 125 to 150 miles.
100. Cool. Please
sorry,
join me in
sorry,
thanking
sorry.
Frank and Mike.
You guys are doing a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really impressive.
Yeah.